You're in. You're the guy.
Good morning.
Hey.
Beautiful Florida morning. As Casey just mentioned, we'll be reading from Philippians. It was written by the Apostle Paul around 60 AD to the Christians in Philippi. Is that correct? Philippi. And the central theme is real joy has nothing to do with our circumstances. According to Paul, if you belong to Christ, then you can have joy in suffering, joy in serving, joy in believing, and joy in giving. And today's reading is Philippians 3. It begins with, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship and sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do know. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take view of these things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Join with us and others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live accordingly to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." May the Lord add a special blessing to the reading of his word.
Yeah, very good. Hopeful words, and thank you for your intro, because I needed to hear that especially. That is excellent. In the dark times, in the tough times, in the rainy times, in the valleys of life, we can be joyful. Because this body, tired, old, sick at times, aching, you know, all that stuff, is not the future. I like what it says here, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. It's not under control yet, but is being pulled in that direction. He is going to make everything complete in its time. Isn't that nice? I love that. That is a hope. How often do you get discouraged by looking backwards? How often do you get burdened by what you see in front of you, and it's like just too much, it's too big, it's too great, I can't handle it. I had some of those circumstances happen to me this week. And it's real easy to jump into the pity party, isn't it? But God says, look, eyes right here, right here. Don't look away. Don't look sideways. Look to me. And that's what he's trying to say to us today. Prayer requests, there's none up there. We have some in the bulletin. I don't have a bulletin. Who has an extra bulletin? Oh, thank you. Yeah. Magi came through his surgery this last week very well. I'm going to continue to pray for salvation for Taylor Bray and for Ray Wilson Sr. You okay, Gwenny? We're going to just keep praying for you, right? Okay. My father-in-law is still on the mend. Lee Johnson, you remember they used to sit all the way in the back there last row. They were winter residents. And last year, because of health reasons, they ended up moving away from here and going back to their home state of Virginia. Lee is not doing well. He's been in and out of hospitals, and he just is losing any strength. It's very tough for him to get on. So pray for him and Hazel as well. Yes?
My grandson, Brian, played football as tackle. He's female, and he's like, he has surgery, and he broke.
Okay. He broke in football? He's playing football. He was tackled and broke a femur. And his name is? What is it?
Jordan.
Jordan. Okay, my wife will write that down. All right. Anybody else? Yeah.
Continue with the pray for the police officers that were attacking in Los Angeles last night. Shot in the car. Sheriff Deputy shot in the car. Once a 24-year-old man. I think a 32-year-old mother, young man of six.
We pray for our police officers in this town, and it's on the sign right now. Thank you, Sarasota County Sheriff's Department. Continue to do that. We support them every which way. It's tough to be in the business of providing protection and safety for a populace, and many of whom don't want it or care. And so pray for that. Pray for our country. Continue to do that. Yes? Okay. Okay. And her name is again Claire?
Claire.
Okay. Somebody else had their hand up. Yeah.
Pray for you and your family.
Pray for me and my family. My family's fine. It's me that's the problem.
You're not a machine.
I'm not a machine. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You as a pastor have the weight of all of our problems on you too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Hey, Dan. Yeah. What, you again?
Y'all can take me off the list because, you know, I get the staples out Friday, so.
Okay. Good. Dan, would you like to pray for us, brother? Dan? Come on up here and stand in front of the mic so people can hear you. That'll also give you a chance to think. Instant in season and out of season.
That's right. Oh, Father God, creator of everything, thank you for creating everything. Father, here we are, joined together on a rainy day. I didn't expect a lot of people here today, but boy, what a surprise. And that's because people want to be with you, Lord. They want to come. They want to be with you. And thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. Thank you for creation. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord. When we think about it, everything is you. All of it. Trees, grass, air. You created it all, Father. And then you created us. Thank you for that. Thank you for our friends and our family. Thank you for this little church, Lord. Thank you for the people that are going through trials, people that are going through pain. Please help them. Give them peace. and give us all joy. Thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. And thank you for a shirt that I received this past week. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Kids can go. Kids can go. And ushers. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Have a seat. The other day I was driving down 41 and I heard this song and I was just literally mesmerized. It just drew me in and I paid real close attention to the words. Luckily on my truck radio I have that whatever the song is, it'll eventually give you the name of it and who sings it. And I went home immediately after my little task, and I looked it up. And I'm going to share with you. Now, if you look in your bulletin, you will find the words to this song. The reason being is I wanted you to be able to follow it, but I want you to watch it. I didn't want to put them up there and kind of destroy the integrity of the video. But there's times when I feel exactly like this. And this is one of those times. Go ahead, Mike.
Quiet light and desperation, hard times and conversations. No one should ever love me like you do. Sometimes my bad decisions define my false suspicions. No one should ever love me like you do. While I'm on this road, you take my hand somehow. You really love who I really am. I push you away. My past was singing, no one like you do.
That powerful, or feel that way? Why do you even bother, Lord? Because you know, I live with me, and a lot of the times I don't like me. A lot of times I just like, what's the point, Lord? I've been at this a long time, and I don't see a whole lot of good change taking place. I don't like my opinions, but I give them. And Lord, when I'm pressed on a side of comfort or struggle, I always choose comfort. And when I hurt, I want that alleviated as quickly as possible. I don't want problems. I don't want fights. I don't want arguments. I just want to kind of get along. And then I'm reminded of God calling and saying, hey, I got a job for you. Knowing full well it was like, nah, not me. Never stops, never goes away. Keep going. Keep going. You see, I am a student of the Word of God. And I have learned through the Word of God, through the study of the Word of God, of dedicating my life to reading it, studying it, applying the principles in it, referencing verse after verse, going back. I have found that, look back behind the clock, look at the clock, look at the clock, look at the clock. I have found that what?
Jesus works.
Jesus works. And these are the words of Jesus. This is what he says. And in this world today where we have a whole lot of political things going on, a lot of stuff going on with the people with a whole lot of views, I just want to remind you, throw it away. I do not care about your opinion. I don't care what you think. I don't care about what you like. I don't care about what you'd like to see. I am here only because Jesus Christ has stolen my heart. And he loves me when he should not. There are times, less now than it used to be. But there are times when you go through trials of faith, of what's going on? I can't see land. I'm on the ocean. I see nothing but waves and storm. And Lord, what's going on? It's been a long time since I've heard. Can we just get a little light today? And it's been a long time since I've felt that way. And this week, I found myself right there. Don't get me wrong, I don't panic like I used to. I just kind of sleep a lot. Or want to. Because I know that he is going to show up because Jesus works. Once you read something and you've been trusted with something and God has given you his word, there are times when he has to step back and allow it to kind of cook. You know what I mean? It's kind of like baking a cake. You know, once you mix that stuff up, you put the eggs and the flour and all the right ingredients, and you mix it all up and you pour it in, and you put it into the oven, you don't go back every 2 minutes and start to see how it's coming along. You let it cook. And so the trials and the difficulties and the problems that come to us, and the society we live in today with all of its problems, with everybody having an answer, which is so whacked out because it's not founded in Jesus, God says, I got this. We're cooking. Don't freak out. It's going to be okay. And so I have to stand back and go, well, okay, Lord. And there are times when people just go, I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm bailing. I'm jumping. I'm going to swim for the shore. Let me remind you, I don't like doing that. I tried that a couple of times. You can't swim that far. And so for me, I kind of like to put my faith on something that I know absolutely works, and Jesus does. I'm going to tell you a little story, and I hope that I can get this in the right order. But this is just an exact perfection of a story that just kind of just drives it home for me. Anybody ever hear of Charles Blondin? Charles Blondin, ever hear of him? Okay, well, it's because he's not on TV. All right. This is way back before movie stars and TV stars and, you know, all the fancy football folks and sports heroes. And this is back like in 1859. Charles Blondin got a whole lot of worldwide of attention because this man had the capability of walking a tightrope. He set up a demonstration, and it was amazing. People would come from all over to see him because there wasn't TVs, as I said. There was no movies to go to in 1850s. And he would show up, and they would put on this little, him and his little road crew, they would put on this little show. And he'd set up this rope, and he was French. He would say, if it's a rope and it is tight, I can walk it. And so he would show up, and they would put this thing up in the air. And his stage manager would kind of all of a sudden chase him, get out there! And he would feign like he was scared. I don't know, I'm scared, I'm frightened. Get out there! And he would chase him out, and Blondin, he would run out there like that, find himself in the middle on the wire, and everybody would laugh. He was quite the comedian. Then he would storm back on the wire to his stage manager, and the stage manager would throw him the broom. And he'd catch the broom, and then he would turn like that. And he would start to feign like he was using it to balance. He didn't need it, obviously. He just ran out there a minute ago. So he'd take the broom, and he would sweep off a little bit before he would go. One time, he did it on stilts. Another time, he did it with a sack on his feet. Yeah, like an old potato sack. He did it. He was awesome. Oh, you are so awesome, Charles. You could do anything. Well, in 1859, he found himself spanning the gorge of Niagara Falls. 160 feet down. There was crowds on both sides. You had the United States side and the Canadian side, and there were people on both sides, and they came out in droves because there were no movies, there were no football games. They came out in droves to see Charles Blondin, the fine French acrobat who could walk any rope as long as he was tight. And they filled up the sides. And he got up to go, and he says, oh, I don't know if I can do it. He says, it's very far down. I've never walked that far. It's a quarter mile. And the station manager chased him out, and off he went. And everybody, Charles, you were great. You're awesome. After he got on the other side, he made it all the way across. He turned around, and everybody was shocked because what he was doing was pushing a wheelbarrow ahead of him. And in the wheelbarrow was a 200-pound sack of sand. Charles, you're so great. You could do anything. You are awesome. Who am I? He would say. You are Charles Blondo. You are magnificent. Thank you. I look back in, after hearing that song, I look back in the Old Testament and in the New Testament for stories of just a, who am I? Who am I? Who am I that God would call me? I was certain I would let him down. Ever feel that way? I was certain that I was never going to be able to come up to his standards. I even tried to talk him out of it. God, you don't understand. I'm the stupidest pick you could make. No word from him on that comment. He just said, this way. And no matter how hard I tried, and trust me, I tried so hard not to heed the call. Maybe if I ignore him, he'll just go away. No, 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 no. Have your Bibles open up to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. I'm going to give you some verses here as I try to find out, who am I? Who am I that God should love me? And what is the point? Why do you do that? Why have you? Am I the only one you do that with? Or am I somebody special? Or are all of us special in your eyes? Are we all called to this? Exodus, chapter 3. You can go back and read this later on if you would like. I'm going to start at verse 9. This is God, and he is talking to Moses. This is the scene of the burning bush. And now the cry of the Israelites, God has said, has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, read that with me, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I, said Moses. He had fled Egypt under the penalty of death, and you want me to go back? Who am I? Just a lonely shepherd out here in the plains of Midian. Who am I? And God said, I will be with you. Moses by himself is nothing. He's a nobody. He's not even worth putting on the page. Who am I? Moses asks, and God says, you're the guy that I will be with. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. Moses had no power to pull people out of Egypt. Are you kidding? And no power. When he had God calling him and reminding him that I will be with you, that made all the difference. Later on, and we won't turn there, the book of Job, after he has been struck with his sicknesses, in his sadness and sorrow and pain and hurt and abandonment by his family and apparently by his God, he said, who is man, O God, that you are mindful of him? Why do you even pay attention to us? He goes on to say, it would be better for me if you would just wipe me out and just let me die. That's pretty low, isn't it? Let's go to another hero of the faith. Open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 17. 1 Chronicles. It comes, you'll be able to easily find it, just before 2 Chronicles. Our hero here, 1 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 11. Our hero here is David. You know David, snotty-nosed little kid, youngest of the sons of Jesse, always getting in trouble with his brothers because they liked him. Chapter 1 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 11. He was always in trouble with his brothers. He's a young man of faith. He knew how to use a slingshot, too. Wasn't scared of a whole lot. You know the story of him. You can read it in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles and in Samuel. 1 Chronicles 17, chapter 11, we find all of a sudden something being said here by God to David. And it is very, very, very difficult for him to understand. God is saying to David, I declare to you, David, that I, the Lord, remember you see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the only uncaused cause in the universe, nothing has no beginning, no end. I, Almighty God, Yahweh, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to build a house for you. And when your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, or in other words, when you die, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. David had like 20-some kids, so he's kind of like, which one? He is the one, verse 12, who would build a house for me, not you. I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father. He will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor, Saul. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever, and his throne will be established forever. Who's God talking about?
Solomon.
Jesus. Did you say Solomon? Oh, we're praying for you. Jesus. This is an Old Testament pre-incarnate prophecy of Jesus Christ. Just like, what's the first one? Remember where the first one is found? Can anybody just tell me the book? Where's it found?
Genesis.
There shall be a seed that will come from the mother, from the woman who will destroy and crush the head of the evil one. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We saw him all through the Old Testament. And here he is one more time promising, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. David is no respecter of persons. He knows exactly what God is talking about. Because he's been waiting as well. He wants to see this person. And then he's going to be my son? Are you kidding me? This is the Davidic covenant. This is the covenant where David has said, you are going to be the one, the line, who the seed or the Savior, Messiah, shall come. Verse 16, then David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, read with me, who am I, O Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me thus far? I should be building a house for you, God, not you for me. I should be doing for you. After all, you're the one that's perfect. I'm the one that's not. You ever feel that way? God says, just sit back. Take it easy. Just relax. Here's what I'd like you to do. Just rest. Keep your eyes on me. Show up when I call, and that's all I need you to do. David, who am I? God responds to him, I am the one who will build. I will make a name great for my son and my people. You can go ahead and read that on forward. Later on in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the disciples. Everywhere he went, everybody was amazed. Just like with Charles Blondin, everybody was amazed at his feats. It had been prophesied for thousands of years that the seed that is coming from the woman in Genesis, that the seed that was to come was going to be known by these very works. And I had a wonderful call this week from my daughter, Calla. I said, what's this mean? I love those questions. I used to bug my dad all the time. Look, people out there trying to tell you, prophetically speaking, what's going on right now is a sign from God. Just turn off. Everything that you need to know, everything you're going to know before Jesus Christ comes to take you home is right here. Don't add anything to it. If you're going to follow after the hocus pocus, you're just going to get spun around all the time. God says exactly what's going to take place. And he told the people in the children of Israel, he told them, this is how you're going to know this is my son. These are going to be the signs. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to raise the dead. He is going to set the captives free. Other people will, your people will speak in other languages, which is a direct discussion of what happened at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. Remember that? People turn around and all of a sudden they're speaking perfect Aramaic, Greek, Spanish, everything. These silly fishermen. So when you hear people out there trying to add hocus pocus to this book, don't do it. Don't go there. And likewise, don't you be the one who's trying to invent it or create it or to chase after it. It's a lot more concrete and solid than that. The disciples had been sent by Christ to go out into the world and to raise the sick, or raise the dead, heal the sick. There was no report of any of them doing the raising of the dead, even though he gave them the power to do that. And they came back and said, this is amazing. Even the demons are subject to your name. We mention Jesus and the demons go, wah! They go crazy. How is that? It's because he's God. He's God in the flesh. Come to build the house, to deliver you, without you doing nothing except just believing in him. Sometimes that belief is hard, isn't it? Because we want to add to it. We want to make things happen. We want to try to do it our own way. God says, it's right here. Just pay attention to my son. He will show you the way. Open up your Bibles to Matthew 16, 15. We'll start at 13. Charles Blondin had that wheelbarrow, and it was kind of surprising as he pushed that thing across the tightrope of a quarter of a mile, 160 feet above the falls. You could hear nothing, but how many people have been there? Daughters can raise their hands. I mean, have you been to the Niagara Falls? That's a terrible impression. It is so horrifically loud, you can't even think. The power that goes with that water going over the falls, 160 feet, boom. You can't hear anything. The mist that goes up from it. It's hard that he could even stand on that thing, but he did it. He pushed that wheelbarrow over across to the other side, and he saw that people saw that it had a big 200-pound sack of sand in it. And Charles Blondin said, what do you think? And they went, you are amazing! Yay! Do you think, crowd, do you think that I could push a person over there? You think I could push a person across there? And the crowd went, we are! Yeah, that's it, you can do it! And Charles Blondin said, I would like a volunteer, please. How many people did?
None.
Would you have? I'll tell you why I wouldn't. It has nothing to do with trusting Charles Blondin, because I just saw him do it, and I don't weigh that much. You know who I don't trust? I don't trust me. I'm afraid that I would get halfway out there and get so freaked out, I would start to shake. And I could hear Charles going, "Oh, Steve, oh, Steve, you're shaking the wire. You're going to die. I will let you go." But Jesus said, "Come here. You are my pick. You are my righteousness. You are my bride. It is on you I place my crown. You will never fall from me. Even if you fail, I will pay the cost of your failure. Even when you make the mistake, you'll get another chance. I will keep no record of wrongs. I just want you to get in the wheelbarrow and trust me." In over 54 years, I have never been let down by Jesus. Now ask me how many times I thought I was let down. A bunch. It wasn't until later, after I hit the island, that I went back, "Oh, I didn't see that coming." Can you say amen to that? It's not up to you, it's up to Him. All He wants you to do is say, "Okay, I'm going to do it your way." Turn to His Word. Pay attention. Dig in. Hang on. Quit trying to do it yourself. And trust that Jesus Christ is building you a mansion. And He's going to come back one day, no matter what we think about the political spectrum of what's going on in the world, that we're going to be just fine in the end, even if it kills us. God picked you. What are you doing about it? Are you hiding in the box saying, "Don't look over here. I'm hiding. No." Good luck with that. I find He never stops. He picked you for a reason. He has a special ministry for you. He has a special job for you that only you can do. I can't do it. You can run. You can flee. You can say, "Oh, I don't like that Casey guy because, you know, all he does is make it hard on me or say things I don't like." Well, I'm just telling you what's in here. God said He picked you. And you are His. And the power does not come from you. It comes from Him. So please go this week and seek and pray and dig and ask, "Lord, what do you want? What can I do next as I sit here and wait for you? How can I prepare? What do you want me to read? What do you want me to see? How can I change? What attitude do you want to work on? Whatever it is, Lord, show me. Because I want to be directly in the business of being with your Son." Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We are lifted up because of your Son who was lifted up for us. He died to pay for every wrongdoing, every sin. I had no, ever have any right to even ask that He do so. And yet He did. I am free and forgiven forever because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the work that He did on the cross. I am your righteousness, your holiness, your perfection. And for some reason, Lord, you chose foolish people like Saul and the people in this church and me to do something that nobody else will do when they're doing it on their own power, and that's just to yield to you. Thank you for your love and your call and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I love this song. It's a great song. Charles, you did a spectacular job when I threw that to you. I knew you would. My father and me and my son Colt have this thing that, you know, when we say it, we know what it means. I got nothing. And it's a freaky thing. There's times when you just don't know what to do. And it's like God's not talking. It's not telling, "What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do?" And I had that this week. Last night I called Charles. I said, "Charles, I got nothing. Pick something." And this is what he used. Go ahead.
Stand up. Yeah.
never chose me. There's always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong. At the end of the line, well, all the other not quite. Well, all we'll never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
My test is right. When David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, then you changed the world. The moral of the story is,